Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Officers located the suspect, a 51-year-old Milwaukee man, deceased.
My deepest condolences to the victims and families.
The president took unprecedented steps to protect the American people from the spread of this disease.
He contributed to every Democrat's campaign.
I consider myself a socialist.
I humbly ask our country to care for our planet.
We will not have the Green New Deal.
Sometimes I wake up and I think it's 1920 and not 2020.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Welcome to the jungle.
About time we welcomed J.J. Carafano back to the program. Jim, how are you?
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I'm in level 5 containment.
Do you have your heritage.org approved face mask on? That's the question.
No, I'm in a vacuum sealed room. You got good luck, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
No,
we appreciate that. All those locked on the outside. So you're going to CPAC this weekend, right?
I am. We're going to be there tomorrow morning and doing the panel on China. Gordon Chang's moderating. It's going to be a blast.
So lots to talk about with China these days, and a lot more than just trade because of what's going on, how this is affecting the economy and all that with the virus concerns.
I think the biggest news story on China in the last really 2 years is how brand China has, look, just to be frank, gone into the toilet. I mean, between Hong Kong and oppressing the Uyghurs and how they responded to this virus and Huawei and the Belt and Road Initiative just being a debt trap. People are really waking up and saying China's not a positive force in the world. It's not a model we should emulate. And the Chinese are not, this is not a benevolent regime. This is a regime that's making the world more destabilized and less safe.
Well, it's a regime, you know, yesterday we hear Nancy Pelosi blaming our president for not doing enough on the coronavirus. And yet in China, we suspect and have good reason to suspect they're not telling us even half the truth about what's gone on over there with this coronavirus.
How the U.S. is responding to this is the new Stormy Daniels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, thank you.
The Mueller report, you know, you name it. It's like, what is the next thing that we can use to bring down the president? And here's what makes this particularly egregious and really, really angers me. This is a genuine public health issue. This is not the kind of issue you just play politics as usual with. Try to spin people up, create a lot of fear. Really the most irresponsible politics I have ever seen. I actually think, and I really believe this, that the impeachment, as ridiculous and stupid and as an assault on the Constitution that was, that isn't as grave as this.
Yeah. That's true. It's a great point. Have you been paying attention to this debate over the FISA warrants? I mean, I talked to Jim Talent about it earlier today. I think they've hit loggerheads on this. I'm not sure they're going to reauthorize it, and maybe that's what we need to kind of shake up the intelligence community a little bit.
Well, my guess is at the end of the day, they'll do a short-term expansion because FISA is a really important tool, but it's very clear that reforms are needed. I don't think that's up for debate. But what we need are good tools that strengthen accountability and protect people's rights, not, you know, just political crap, which is, to be honest, half the stuff out there is just going to make things worse. So, and this is the tough thing here. FISA is an important tool. Under the Obama administration, it was abused in a way that we have not documented since the violations of the intel community in the 1970s. One of the worst abuses of government power that we have seen, it really since the 60s, since Hoover. I mean, it's just incredible. And if we're going to fix, we can eat fixes that are right, just not fixes for people's pet politics.
Yeah.
This is not, unfortunately, this is not the season to do that. I'd actually be happy with a short-term extension, bump this thing past the election, get a new Congress, get people who deal with it seriously. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, and with some maybe some new safeguards baked into
right.
it somewhere. You know, Jim, I thought you put out one of the best pieces on the president's trip to India because, so many people kind of overlooked it. It was a quick trip. He went over there. He didn't really come back with the trade deal that he kind of hoped for, but it was still a very successful outing for this president.
Oh, I've been following India for years and years and years, and I've been there many, many times, and people have no idea the importance of this strategic relationship. And it's not just about countering China, but when India finally breaks out of kind of its socialist path and really partners with the United States in a true free economic partnership, you're going to take the fifth largest economy in the world and the largest economy in the world, and you're an economic engine that's just going to blow the Chinese out of the water. That's going to happen. It actually started under Bush. The Obama guys actually did move the ball forward. But this president has really sealed the deal. And it's bipartisan. It's bipartisan in India, and it's bipartisan in the United States. Everybody wants this relationship to work. And I just couldn't be more optimistic about the future.
Yeah, fantastic. Jim, take care of that cough you got going on there, buddy. I'm a little worried about
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, but no wonder why they locked my door, locked me in here.
Well, if Mark was there, he'd be wiping the doors down for you. That's what he's doing.
Denise is all offended that I'm using these sanitizing wipes all over the studio this morning.
No, I got to tell you, I just get very deeply emotional when I talk on the Mark Cox show. That's just the truth of it. I just the honor and the prestige of it. Sometimes I just get a little
get choked up.
It can be overwhelming, but thank you for doing it. We appreciate it, Jim.
Talk to you next week.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. J.J. Carafano there from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Quick break here. We'll get back and talk about some of these headlines regarding Corona. I've got Chris Wallace coming up about 8:37 for you and Tom Ackerman at 8:48. Did you hear Jay Bomeister yesterday talking about his future? We're going to talk to Tom about that as well. We'll be back.
This is known as the Molson Coors Brevish Company, and for most Milwaukee residents, the Old Miller Brewery. Officers located the suspect, a 51-year-old Milwaukee man, deceased from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. At this time, we have located 5 additional deceased adult victims. The victims all worked at Molson Coors, and no members of the general public were involved.
What a tragedy up in Milwaukee. It really is. The president commented on it yesterday. Clearly a disgruntled coworker who went in and targeted specific people and then took his own life. What did the Democrats do? It's as predictable as the sun that rose over my shoulder this morning. They immediately blamed the gun. Without knowing how the individual got the gun, before they knew what kind of gun was used, and by the way, it was 2 handguns. One of them had a silencer on it, which is legal in Minnesota. The guy had, I don't know if he had a permit for it, but you can get silencers. They're not illegal. I mean, I don't know if this one was or not. But before any of those facts are out, the investigation still going on. They hadn't even announced all the details of it yet. The left, Nancy Pelosi and others, tweeting out, it must be the gun. All the some of the presidential wannabes tweeting out, it must be the gun. Michael Bloomberg, all of them. It just sickens me. You can't control a maniac. That's what this guy was. This was the reaction from the Coors CEO. Go to cut 22, please.
We're a family here at Molson Coors in Milwaukee, and this is an unthinkable tragedy for us.
Of course it is. And everybody's heart breaks, just like the situation in Maryland Heights. Mm-hmm. A disgruntled coworker who was clearly nuts chose to take out his frustrations, anger on another individual. It's a shame. But you can't legislate common sense. You can't legislate mental illness. Maybe there were warning signs. Maybe we'll find out later that in both of these individuals, there was something somebody knew and they should have come forward with it. But right now, we know nothing except that it must be the gun. Wait for the headline later today that we'll blame spoons for obesity. It's the same logic. I can't help myself. Hey, on a happier note, I mentioned this earlier. Aunt Becky is innocent. I just want you. Lori Loughlin is innocent.
This is what people call fake news.
This is what people with a lot of money can find somebody to find new evidence to.
That's what defense attorneys are for. I'll just have to remind you of that. Lori Loughlin says new evidence proves she did not know the college admissions payment that she made was a bribe after Rick Singer said the FBI told him to lie about what the parents knew. So Lori and her husband say they have the evidence, and it's going to prove it's going to clear them. They said that Rick Singer, they believe they were making legitimate donations as a fundraising gift. They did not know that their daughter was not a good coxswain or whatever it was she was for the rowing. She was going to be put on the rowing team. A coxswain. What's wrong with you? Look it up. It's the person that sits in the front and tells them the rhythm that they use when they're rowing. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That she's never rowed a day in her life.
No, it didn't seem odd. She said that she's accused of paying $500,000 to get their daughters into USC as crew recruits, even though neither one was actually a rower. But she says that this guy lied to her, and she has evidence to prove it. Mm-hmm. So you go, Aunt Becky.
So it's
jail. Go to jail.
It's not a little bit of a red flag that she's just donating all this money to a place where her kids don't even go to school, and she
to get in.
Somebody
told me that who my son told me he knows a friend who goes there. They call it the University of Spoiled Children, USC. That's the nickname for it. I guess it's the place to get your kids into if you're in California.
Yep.
And you'll pay any amount to do it.
You can't get in on your own merit. You find a way to do it.
You will pay any amount to get them in there. So
that word you said is a real word. I'd never heard
it
before. Of course
it is. You never heard of a coxswain before?
Oh, I assumed it was a real word. Does anywhere in that story say that word?
No, it just said a crew member.
There you go.
I just like to throw big words out there occasionally to impress you.
Huge words.
I know nothing about rowing, so that was new to me.
Huge, impressive words.
Maybe I should have done that when I was in college. Given my last name, it would have worked out well, right?
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Should have been on the rowing team.
Thank you. I know. Thank you. So what's the story? I really, again, the whole Megxit thing, the whole thing with Great Britain and Harry and all this, it bores. It makes me mad, number one, because she's manipulated this man against his family's wishes.
It doesn't make you mad that Aunt Becky has manipulated everything to get her kids in and it is claiming to get
but
away
heaven
with it,
forbid but we talk about
part
royals
of that's, part
and
of
Meghan
that's,
Merkel's the
part
devil
of that's
now.
Tongue in cheek. Lori Loughlin should get whatever's coming to her. I'm just being trying to be funny here. But the Harry thing, so now Harry wants everybody to call him Harry, right?
Yeah, just drop the prince because everyone calls him Prince Harry, right? It's like that's like his official name. So he just wants to be Harry from now on.
What if you just want to call him Schmuck because he clearly got suckered in by this woman who was a B-level actress in Hollywood, but once she got her wagon attached to the royal family, she's going to make a bazillion dollars off of it.
Maybe he was looking for an out of the royal family because he was over it, and it was just like, oh.
Maybe they
this.
Are happily married.
Yep, maybe they are. Time will tell. But don't call him Prince.
Just don't call him Prince.
He's Harry.
You don't honestly believe that, do you?
What?
That this is a story of, like, my daughter even said, this is so sweet.
No,
it's
I don't.
It's a story
I
of true love.
I don't think about it at all, but I also, when I start to think about it, don't think that she's this American devil loser.
I agree.
That is destroying the royal family.
Yoko Ono has got nothing on this woman. I'm just telling you.
I'm pretty sure Prince Harry had has the means to have not let this happen if he didn't want it to.
Right.
You know, he lost his mother pretty early in his life. He didn't have a lot of direction.
Probably didn't want to lose his wife the same way.
Oh. Ooh.
I don't know. I don't think about
Maybe
it.
Maybe he's just trying to keep her alive.
Maybe. He wanted to get her out of there before a car wreck could be planned. Is that what you're suggesting?
Uh-huh. These things seem to happen over there.
That's a good theory there, Trisha. I hadn't thought about that. Hey, quick reminder, tomorrow will be our first local heroes representation. We're going to get that on tomorrow. We're looking for first responders or military service members that you want to recommend to be highlighted in the local heroes segment. We're going to do it every Friday here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. All you have to do is go to the website, right? We've had some of these come in already over the past week started talking about it. We need some more. We're going to select a person every Friday, and we'll honor them on the air. We'll talk about why they're being nominated. Go to 971talk.com/Cox, and you'll find the contest there. Click on the local hero link, and you can put in the information.
Yep.
Fantastic. All right. Quick break. We're going to talk to Chris Wallace about what's going on with this South Carolina vote that's going to happen on Saturday. We'll be right back.
We should all be working together. She's trying to create a panic, and there's no reason to panic because we have done so good. These professionals behind me and over here and over there and back here and in some conference rooms, I just left a group of 45 people that are the most talented people in the world. Parts of the world are asking us in a very nice way, can they partake and help them?
Chris Wallace of Fox News Sunday, our guest right now. Chris, the president, I think, felt like he needed to calm the markets and Americans yesterday.
Yeah, and I thought part of it was successful and part of it wasn't. I thought it was very good to hold the news conference and, you know, to give a sense of where things stand and also to have all of that firepower in terms of his administration, Dr. Azar and people from the CDC. The clip you played was one of the things that I thought was a mistake, not for you to play it, but for him to say, because I think the concern that some people have is that the president in his effort, his zeal to calm people down might end up saying things that advantage him politically instead of what is necessarily the hard truth. You saw how hard the administration pushed back when the CDC talked about the real possibility of a spread here in this country, which is why I think it would have been the smartest thing for him to do, to just not talk about politics at all. Don't talk about Nancy Pelosi. Don't say the Democrats, even if you believe it, that the Democrats are trying to panic the market, because I think it only gives some weight to the idea that he's got a political imperative here as well as a public health imperative. And I think what you want to transmit is, all I care about is the public health of the American people and let the political chips fall where they may.
Yeah, you know, that's not in his DNA, though, because he can't. I mean, Pelosi challenged him on that. Here's what I'm kind of confused about. Is $2.5 billion not enough? I mean, the president kind of referred to that yesterday. Chuck Schumer seems to be pressing for $8 billion. What more protection are we going to get with $8 billion instead of $2 billion? Sometimes it seems like his political opponents in Washington are reaching for anything they can find to be critical of any effort he makes now, including on coronavirus.
You know, that's fair. And as I say, there certainly is some politics in this, and it could play a big role because, as we've seen with Katrina or mayors with snowstorms, when the man in charge, something kind of gets spirals out of control, whether it's their difference or not, their responsibility or not, it doesn't make a difference. They take the heat. And obviously this can have and already has had an impact on the economy, particularly the stock market. The number, and the answer is, I don't know, and I guess as you don't know, whether $2.5 billion is enough or $8 billion is enough. The number that people seem to be looking at, and again, I don't know if this is right or wrong, is Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican leader, is talking about $4 billion, and that seems to be a number that everybody is coalescing about around. I have no idea what you need and how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to wrap your brain around figures that big. I don't know what in the world they'll spend it on, but it you know, you're right. So they'll reach some sort of a conclusion on that. You know, on the debate the other night, the saddest thing to me is the debate moderators, and I know you've moderated these debates before. It's a shame that Fox didn't get a chance this time around in the Democratic debate. The moderators lost control pretty quickly the other night. That thing devolved into a shouting match in a hurry. What do you do in that situation?
Well, you have to and look. I've been in debates with multiple candidates. I mean, I did the big Trump Clinton the third debate, so that's a little easier when you have two people. Although those are two pretty big personalities. But you know, when we were doing the Republican primaries, Fox, we had 10 people up on the stage. You just have to. I mean, look, they're the politicians. They're the ones running for office. You're not, and you have to pay them respect. But on the other hand, you do have to, in a sense, save them from themselves. And the first thing I would have done is I would, you know, not in a sort of school, I hope not, in a school teacher lecturing way, said, folks, if you raise your hand, I'm not going to call on you. This isn't third grade. So everybody settle down. I promise I will get around to all of you and I will call on you. And you have all agreed on the rules. And I'm not, you know, if you've agreed 1 minute, 15 seconds to answer. So and everybody gets to speak. So, I mean, I guess I would have just played traffic cop more than I thought they did. They certainly had their hands full. But, you know, as a moderator, you have a certain amount of power, too, because if the moderator takes on the politician, the moderator looks bad. But on the other hand, if the politician takes on the moderator, they look bad, like they can't play by the rules and they're being disrespectful to the other people up on the stage. So you know, I agree with you. I thought it was a mess, and I thought it made all the Democrats look bad because they ended up looking like a bunch of argumentative, out of control school children, and that's not helpful to anybody. And one of the other things I'd have done is when three people talk, I mean, you know, I think actually hosts of Sunday shows are pretty good at this, generally speaking, because we do panels. We'll have two or three people on it, and you know, sometimes they're speaking, and you just sort of say, stop, hold it, and then you just command silence, and you say, you go first, you go second, everybody's going to get a chance to talk, but nobody is going to benefit if you can't hear anybody.
I love that. Ronald Reagan famously said one time during one of his primary debates, they asked him they wanted to turn his mic off, and he goes, no, I paid for this mic. So right. I understand that, but I would love to have seen Gayle King say to her production crew, please just cut the mics till we regain control. When everybody quit talking and said, we're going to turn your mic. When I call your name, we'll turn your mic on. You almost wanted to hear that.
Did I think of that as I saw it? Yes. I don't know. That's a pretty extreme step.
I know. Maybe.
You know, all right, cut their mic. But you know, I think if early on you I remember one time I did get into it in a debate with Ted Cruz, who could be pretty argumentative on the stage, and the rule was if another person mentions your name, you get to respond. So one of the other candidates. So what happened was I was asking candidate X, I forget who it was, you know, what do you think of what Cruz is saying? And the candidate very skillfully answered the question without ever mentioning Cruz. So then Cruz said, well, it's my turn to speak. I said, the rule isn't. And, you know, you kind of if you walk down that alley as a moderator, you have to win because sure. The moment you walk down the alley and you don't win, then they know they've got you, you know, by the short hairs and they're just going to walk all over you. And I basically said the rule isn't that if I mention your name, it's if the other candidate mentions it. And to his credit and my relief, he backed off.
Yeah, so most of us couldn't imagine being in that situation. I've moderated a couple of gubernatorial debates, but nothing at that level. So, I mean, the pressure must be incredible.
Well, I will say this about the pressure on The one place I really felt it was when I did the general election debate between Trump and Clinton, because, you know, I sometimes I'll watch a basketball player or in a key game, and they got to make a free throw, and if they don't make it, the team loses, and if they make it or make two, they can win. And, you know, you think, I can't even imagine that pressure. The answer is, when you get in that situation, it isn't the first time you've done it. You know, you've done it in grade school, and you've done it in high school and college. You know, if you've done a gubernatorial debate, you can go on and do a presidential debate. I will say, though, that a general election debate is a completely different deal, because one of these two people on the stage is going to be the president. In this case, it was like 3 weeks minus one day later. And I also knew, as it turned out, more than 80 million people were watching. So I've done a lot, but I got to say, there were moments when that was pretty daunting.
I'll bet. You know, it looks like Joe Biden is going to pull off South Carolina. I heard another poll from this morning showing that he's up by, like, I don't know, 20 points or more, like doubled maybe Steyer in the poll that I heard this morning. Let's assume that he wins fairly big. Is that enough to keep him in this race, given his performance in the debates and the continued mistakes that he makes on the campaign trail?
No, and he does. I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, the other day he was campaigning and said he was running for Senate.
Right.
Yes. The answer is simply yes. I think any win he will take as a victory and stay in the race. At least, you know, why not stay until Super Tuesday? It's only 3 days later. So, but I will tell you, I was just looking at some stats today. He is, first of all, because he has done so poorly, he is very low on money, much, much lower than most of the other candidates. And I don't think he's put any money in any Super Tuesday states. And you're talking about 14 states across the country, huge markets in California and Texas and Virginia and other states. Yes, let's say he wins, and let's say he wins by 10 points, which would be a big victory. You know, 3 days later, he's going around the country to, and he has no ads yet. I mean, he would have no money. So, you know, maybe the boost, and I'm sure that they would play Joe is back, you know, the comeback kid, all of that stuff. But he will be, win or lose, he'll be at a severe disadvantage, just in terms of ground game, organization, money, air waves in terms of air control on Super Tuesday. So we'll know a lot more on next Wednesday about the state of this race. And my guess is some candidates are going to have to get out. As I always say, they never run out of ambition or ideas. They run out of money.
It's coming. We can all see it coming. Chris Wallace, thank you. We'll be watching on Sunday.
You bet. Thank you, Mark.
Yep, you bet. Chris Wallace, Fox News Sunday. And most of us could never imagine being in that situation, right? You think you know what you'd like to ask. Like, why didn't somebody say, excuse me, Mr. Vice President, you just said half the population died in gun deaths since 2007. You want to restate that? Nobody said anything. It's like a parallel universe sometimes. Hey, Tom Ackerman's coming up. We'll be right back.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Great to hear and see Jay Bomeister yesterday up there talking about his career, which many of us are assuming may be over, but he didn't say that yesterday. He said he's got a lot of tough decisions to make, Tom.
That's right. He will not be playing in the regular season or postseason. And I think right now, just happy that he's able to be here and be with his family and his friends. And you know what? He's still part of this team. I mean, he's been hanging around the team this week and being a good teammate, being around them, being visible. And I got to say, I don't think it's coincidence that the Blues have won 5 in a row. I mean, I think that makes him feel good. That emotionally, you know, that he's back. And he's here, and he's with family, and they went. That was a very, very difficult thing for those guys to go through, and for Jay to go through, and his family. And now here he is, and the doctor saved his life. Thank God that he was on an NHL bench. I mean, you couldn't be, unless you were in a hospital room, you couldn't be in a better place for something like that to happen. And now he's able to spend some time you know, around the guys. I mean, that is just so cool. I was just so happy to see that he was there with Doug Armstrong, and he looked great, and you know, did, in front of all the reporters, and it's very, very, what's the word? Just relief. I think that everything is somewhat back to normal for him.
17 years. I mean, that's a long career for a hockey player,
right? That's a long career.
It is.
Yeah, that's a long time to be playing.
But for most people, and I mean, I didn't really experience this so much as an athlete, but if you've done well enough to play professional sports, I would think that you probably need to mentally prepare for the end of your career. And he might have just been, that might have been taken away from him. That's got to be the shock of it, right?
It's a hard part, yeah.
I'm sure.
But certainly at some point, you know, you're the reality of life,
yeah.
and how precious life is, you know, just really takes control. 17 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, just to put it in perspective, this is Yadier Molina's 17th year as a Cardinal. All of his major league years have been with the Cardinals. Only Stan Musial was with the Cardinals longer. Only Stan Musial. Bob Gibson, also 17. It goes Stan Musial, Bob Gibson, Yadier Molina.
Wow.
So Jay Bouwmeester, 17 years in the NHL. He's been doing it since he was a teenager.
And I'll 36. Point out that that's, given Stan and Bob their due, that's 17 years of squatting down behind home plate. That would take a toll on any human being. And that's catching's got to be the absolute toughest position
on your body,
on the field, yeah. In my opinion, on your body.
Taking foul balls off the head and other parts of the
other
body.
Other body parts, yeah.
And taking shots at home plate from base runners. And you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that is a tough job. And he's one tough dude that got
yes,
here.
Yes.
You know, the Cardinals really grow catchers well, don't they? They have, in their top 10 prospects, two of them are catchers. One of them is Andrew Kisner, and the other one is Ivan Herrera, who had a really good game yesterday. The Cardinals grow them, man. They grow them. And so when Yadi calls it a career at some point, and he is signed through this year, but it's expected that he's going to get an extension. He said, if I sign an extension, I want it to be with the Cardinals only. I would assume they are going to do that fairly soon. Then, you know, at some point, though, when he calls it a career, it looks like the Cardinals are well-equipped. And they traded catchers, too. Carson Kelly was traded for Paul Goldschmidt. They know what they're doing in that area. That's not easy. That's rare, actually. It's usually hard to find catchers and grow catchers. Cardinals are in good shape there.
Let's talk pitching. How are they looking this year?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, pitching is, you know, the strong point of this team. They've been trying different pitchers. I listened on the radio yesterday. Yesterday was a good day. I was driving from Chicago to St. Louis, and I had two Cardinals games to go back and forth on. One of them was being streamed on Cardinals.com. That was our crew that was doing that one in Jupiter. But I was listening to the Astros broadcast. They were playing the Cardinals also, a split squad situation where some Cardinals were playing down in West Palm. And I was listening to Genesis Cabrera was the starting pitcher for the Cardinals yesterday down in West Palm, and he's bringing heat, you know, mid-upper 90s, lefty. He also can close games for you, come out of the bullpen. So what they're doing is just using as many pitchers as they can and trying to define roles, getting them innings. The Cardinals, as John Brebbia put it on one of our broadcasts, the Cardinals reliever Brebbia, he said, we have so much pitching, we really could have two teams.
Wow.
We have that much depth. So they feel really good about it. And this is even with Miles Michaelis probably on the shelf to start the season. I mean, he's not going to be ready to go. He can't throw for another 3 weeks. So they're trying to find a replacement for him in the rotation. It's probably going to be Kwon Young Kim, the lefty, who is dynamite, I think. I mean, I've seen a lot of different pitches that he can throw for strikes. I like him, and he works fast. So the other thing to watch in spring training, if you see numbers get elevated, don't automatically worry about that because pitchers are working on different things and they're not showing you everything that they can do. They don't want scouting reports out there either. So sometimes they'll get touched up for some runs, but just the fact that they come out healthy, that's what you want.
And they're particularly conservative when they're playing the Astros. I'm sure. I'm just kidding.
Alex Bregman got hit.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to talk about?
Denise pointed that out earlier. How many Astros have been hit so far this spring season?
Seven is what I read.
I think it's four. Is it seven?
Yeah, I read like seven total so far, yeah.
Man.
Like three in one game alone.
It's going to be a long season.
It's going to be ugly. Can you imagine when they play the Yankees? Oh, my.
They're going to need to wear body armor.
Hope for rain. No. man. And then, you know, the All-Star game, you know where that is this year?
Where?
Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
And Dodgers fans are not going to be happy to see anybody from the Astros. They might want to take a pass on the All-Star game this year. It's going to be rough for them. But, hey, you know, you get what you get.
I still can't believe nobody got suspended over that whole thing. It's a shame.
Do you take away the 2017 title? Just strip it from them. Say you guys now have not won any World Series. You can't have it.
More than that, I mean, if you could quantify that's why they lost, right? I think the fact that they haven't suspended any players is more concerning to me than stripping them of the title.
Yeah, because how do you prove
maybe they
that?
Can't decide which ones
who did it, who didn't?
You know, do you suspend
all of
them?
They obviously decided neither.
What about this? What if you say this might be a little drastic, but what if you say, okay, Houston, we didn't suspend anybody, but you can't participate in the postseason this year in 2020. How about that?
Still not enough. Still
that's
not enough. I don't think
I'd be okay with that.
I think
that one's not bad.
Like, yeah,
but if
they are a really good
team.
It's
better than at this point. It's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. But
even without the cheating, they're actually a pretty good team.
But if they did that and they reinstated Pete Rose, I'd be okay with it. All at the same time.
Always goes back to Pete Rose.
Why do you want to let Pete Rose in?
Because nothing he did changed the outcome of the game.
He thinks he can make some money.
The Astros cheated and changed the outcome of the game. Nothing Pete Rose did affected a game ever. And he's banned from the game for life. And these guys cheated and changed the outcome of games. And nothing's happened to them. I think that's just unfair.
So written in every clubhouse, no gambling on baseball.
And no stealing signs. That ought to be right under it. Then. Thank you very much.
Mark's things.
By the way, I know.
You got to run.
By the way, Pete Rose is all of his accomplishments, everything. There's like an entire section in Cooperstown on Pete Rose. But just the Hall of Fame itself, no plaque. And I'm good with that.
You can leave now. That was Tom Ackerman. The door's over there, pal. Actually, he's got to get down the hall and do a newscast here. Right. So
thanks,
we appreciate
Tom.
Tom.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Good luck to your Hoosiers tonight against Purdue.
Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely, yeah.
We'll do our best.
I'll root for Hoosiers anytime they're not playing Kentucky, which isn't very often these days, right? Watching, he's off the mic now.
Oh boy!
He got the memo.
I had to get a dig in as he headed out the door there. That's good though. That's good. Hey,
also,
by the way,
I didn't realize there was anything about Pete Rose in Cooperstown. Period. So that's not good enough.
That doesn't.
No,
feel...
it's not good enough. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's the all-time hits leader. He hit the ball more often than anybody
else.
Where are
we going
to
be tomorrow?
Cooperstown.
No,
I'm just kidding. We're going to be at Caps. The show's
going
to be live down there. The doors open at 6. We're going to be there all morning, 5 to 9. Come and say hi to us, and we can't wait. That's at Highway K and Mexico Road in O'Fallon, Missouri, Caps Restaurant.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.